Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Beautifully, well done. If I can't preach after that, I'm pathetic. Take your Bibles, please. Join with me to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm. While you're making your way there, please do pray for our group that's in Honduras, as mentioned. And if any of you have ever been outside of the continental United States, been to a third world country, you know the conditions that they're going to see. It will change their life forever. Brother Leper was telling us he and his wife, I believe, had gone to Ethiopia at one time and came back and kind of cautioned their kids, not going to complain about any toys you do want at Christmas time. Kids there may only have one, and they play with a broken toy. They play with a teddy bear whose stuffing is coming out. So many of them live in cardboard shacks. Or if they do have a boarded house, no insulation. So we are so blessed, as our choir sang. I am praying for those on the missions trip. And Brother Leper, you said nearly 1,000 they're going to touch. I don't know where our head usher is, Phil Hookett, but we get to add that 1,000 onto our attendance this morning. So we're okay. We're cool. We're good. 23rd Psalm, if you would, please. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything that you've done. And now we're going to see in much descript detail how you do watch over us. What a joy. What a blessing to know that you care about us so much that you look at every single detail of our life to make sure we're taken care of. And I pray, Father, you'll help us, because even the detail of sending your own Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary, that we might have eternal life, that detail is not lost on us. And I do pray that you'll speak to us now through the Word. Let it come through clear and loud, and let the focus be on the Word of God and your Son, Jesus. For it's all Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you'd been around during Moses' last days, you would have heard these words from him in Numbers 20, verse 8. "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" It was a height of the 40-year time in the wilderness. Israel had constantly been complaining, griping, wondering where God's going to do and what God's going to supply. And how's he going to provide the water? How's he going to supply the meat? What's he going to do for the 2 to 3 million people? Constantly complaining. I must admit, in my years of the pastorate, probably one of the most unfavorite times is being around God's people who've been blessed in so many ways, to hear them constantly complain. It's like, really? You don't see the other side of the coin? You really don't see what God has done for you? You really can't appreciate what the Lord has done for you in your life? It's astounding. It really is. And yet we are so prone to be unhappy when things don't go our way. "Well, I wish we had more crown molding in our house. I'd be much happier. I wish we had a newer car. I'd be much happier." Remember when our kids were growing up and you fixed something for them at the table and they turned a nose at that? "Oh, I don't like that." What did we tell them in so many words? "Shut up." Well, maybe you didn't say shut up. Felt like it though, right? Sit there and eat what your mom made for you. And then we get to be sophisticated adults. We go eat at a restaurant. "Waiter, would you take this back? This food is too cold." "Really? I mean, we don't take our own advice when our kids were, you know, growing up, and yet we complain about certain food and make a big thing about it at a restaurant. Yeah, right. We're constantly complaining. As we've heard in the choir and knowledgeable in the Word of God, we are so blessed, Christian. We really have nothing to complain about. Here in the 23rd Psalm, ideally it's going to be put before us of how God has blessed. First of all, we need to remind ourselves that the psalm is a collection of songs by David. Now, David had plenty of time to keep his father's sheep, so perhaps he wrote a lot of songs to maybe calm them down and or to remind him of the blessings of God in his life. Secondly, we must remind ourselves that the true character and the nature of the sheep is why they need a shepherd. It's so easy for them to go astray. Isaiah knew that in Isaiah 53, verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. It just seems like they cannot follow a direct path, or they cannot follow simple directions, and they just easily go whichever direction they want to do. We find also sheep lack a sense of direction, unlike cats or dogs or horses. You know, I'm not talking about cats. They go their own direction, right? Yeah. About horses and dogs may find their way back. And indeed, we have that understanding that sheep just cannot find their way back, even in familiar territory. Also, sheep are virtually defenseless. They have no sharp claws. There are no sharp teeth. There is nothing about them that they have. They do not run fast. They do not have the keenness of smell. They do not have the keenness of sight or hearing. And they are totally defenseless. Have you ever seen a sheep growl? No, because they don't know how to growl. They're so easily scared themselves. They are totally defenseless. They are awkward, they're weak, they're ignorant, small spindle legs and small hooves. They're pitifully small, slow. We also find they're easily frightened. They're because of the fact that they just seem to be scared of anything that moves, whatever it might be. They hide behind bushes, hide behind rocks. That's why shepherds have a hard time finding them, because they're easily frightened. And they're unclean by nature. Other animals may lick or scrape or roll in the grass to clean themselves, but not sheep. They remain dirty. They remain filthy until the shepherd comes to clean them. And that's what we have today. We are dirty and filthy in our sins. And we have a heavenly shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to die on the cross to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. All we like sheep have indeed gone astray. So we know here what the shepherd is talking about. Sheep cannot find food and water. Most animals have a keen smell. They can find food, they can find water, but sheep pretty much go wherever they think something looks good. It could be poisonous. The water could be tainted. And yet they'll drink no matter what, because they're totally dependent upon the shepherd to lead them the right direction. Also, I found it interesting that the sheep's wool does not belong to the sheep. When cut, it belongs to the shepherd. Anything spiritual, whatever fruitful production, whatever spiritual production we have that comes out of our lives does not account to us, nor should we ever brag about anything. It all belongs to the Heavenly Father. Belongs to Him from the beginning of it all. Psalm 100, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. For as He that hath made us, and not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 23 has been a favorite among millions. It's been made and said and preached over, said repeatedly as a prayer at funerals, at times of celebrations of different things. And today we're going to give us an understanding of the Shepherd's Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. It begins in verse number 1. We're familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like many songs of the Psalms, this one states its case from the very beginning. It says in so many words, the Lord is my shepherd. He belongs to me. I belong to Him, and I claim Him because I've yielded my life to Him. And because I have, I lack nothing. I want nothing else. I want nobody else because He alone supplies all of my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want another. And everything He takes care of me, no matter what. And the Lord, from David's own thinking, is a divine term in the Hebrew, means to be, or like I am. He is to be. He is the great I am. He's my shepherd. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you do not have the Lord as your shepherd. You're pretty much defenseless. You're on your own to make it in this ungodly, sinful world. And the shepherd is willing. He's available, always wanting you to come and come to Him in each and every way. The Lord, who calls Him by name, cares and personally for each and every one of His own sheep. Secondly, in verse number 2, we find He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Having established this theme by the word picture of pastoral care, the sheep under the care of the shepherd, I read that sheep are notoriously frightened. They're scared. In fact, in many cases, they will run over themselves, even in familiar pasture land. They just get so frightened at anything and everything, and they want to run away. Sometimes when that fear comes upon them, they'll be too afraid to eat. They'll be too afraid to go to water. So it's nothing unlike the shepherd to take the sheep by the underneath of the belly and fold its legs out and make it lie down in green pastures, because he knows the sheep needs the food. Who does that? Who thinks of things like that? Only our shepherd thinks of things like that. Only he cares for us. Only he knows what we need. And he knows the food and what we need at the time we need it. And it's amazing how he does make us to do that. Turn, if you would please, to Psalm 119 for a minute. Psalm 119. We can become so scared, so frightened to be able not to eat and afraid of what the enemies, what the devil can do, that sometimes we don't get into the Word of God. And if we repeatedly do this over and over again, not getting into the Word, then the Lord knows a way to help us get into His Word. In Psalm 119, in verse number 71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." I've been a hospital chaplain as well as a pastor, and believe me, when there are Christians laying in the hospital room and all they're doing is looking at the ceiling and the walls around them, they've got plenty of time to think. Many of them running away from God. Some of them say, "Yeah, I know why I'm here, preacher. I know why God put me here. I know exactly the reason why I'm here." As a police chaplain, I dealt with a young lady who was told by her parents, saved Christian parents, "Don't go dating that unsaved guy." She did. They lived together. He beat her up. He put her into the emergency room. As a police chaplain, I came in. She cried. She told me, "Pastor, I know I'm a Christian. My mom and my dad told me not to do this, and I didn't listen to them." And she began breaking down crying. "And now I've got beaten, the bloodied lip and bruises all about me right now. It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn of your word." Sometimes he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Many times, the only time we'll listen to God's word, maybe the only time we'll read the word of God, is for searching for answers and help and reasons as why we're here. And that predicament, indeed, the psalmist knew this right away. "And then leading me beside the still waters, fears take over." I didn't realize it, but sheep are afraid of babbling brooks. We love that sound. You might even have a sound machine at home that puts you to sleep with babbling brooks. No, sheep don't like it. It scares them. It frightens them. And so the shepherd finds the brooks or path of where waters might be that are still, that are calm, as if to not frighten us, so they can get nourishment, so they can get strength. Only a shepherd who cares for us deeply would ever think about that. Only the shepherd would, in every way. In verse number 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul because of the frightened nature. He restoreth my soul because of the times we're living in. I mentioned in Sunday school class that some of you perhaps don't want to watch or listen to the news at all because it's too frightening, too scary. It's just too much negativism. And, you know, I look at it and I watch it and I see God working. I know the Lord is working in our midst. I know God is working in America. I know God is doing something here. So it doesn't scare me or frighten me. I'm saying God at work in our country today. But there are those who are afraid and they're scared. And because of that which is going on, we find here they need their soul to be restored. He does that. In fact, David composed the Psalms to be able to sing, to restore his soul, to comfort him. Listen, in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your own heart to the Lord. Many of those are in our songbook today. You can look at them, you can read them, you can sing them, and they'll comfort your soul. When you leave this building, you might even think of those songs as you're driving down the highway with the crazy traffic going on, or on Bonds Ranch Road, three roundabouts, or waiting for that wonderful, beautiful trains we always have to wait on, right? And you're singing to yourself in songs and spiritual songs and hymns. Indeed, in Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And then James 5, verse 13. Is any afflicted among you? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. God directed David to write psalms that we might sing. I'm so blessed. I'm so glad. Our church has a songbook that's scripturally based. You can look at the songbook. You can compare it to the Word of God. And you will learn doctrine in the songs out of our songbook. Can't be said like that for every church around. We have a church here that sings songs, hymns, and spiritual, godly songs. And they'll tell you of the doctrines of the faith and the teachings of the faith. And you'll sing it. You'll carry it with you. And if nothing else, you'll remember that teaching. You'll remember those doctrines from the songs that we sing here. What a blessing. What a blessing. And that David knew that. Restoring is also not refreshing, but it's also coming after you've turned your way back. After you've gone astray, it's coming back. This has been accomplished by the shepherd who realizes that he has a wanderer out there. A wanderer. Somebody who loves to miss all the time. Loves to go out on their own. Venture out and say, I'm curious about this in the world. And I'm curious about that in the world. And they wander themselves away from the godly paths that God has directed them. Indeed, whenever there is a rebellious sheep who has a habit of wandering away, it has been known, some extreme cases, that the shepherd would gently take that little lamb and break the leg, put a cast back on, and put that sheep right next to his chest, where that sheep would hear his heartbeat and know, I love you. I did it for your own good. You were about to fall off a cliff. You were about to drink bad water. You were about to go after bad grass. Only the shepherd who cares for his sheep would do this. When you're going through a trial or a tribulation, maybe in a spiritual sense, God's broken your leg. God has quit you from wandering away, going astray, falling into a path that you would be to your utter detriment. God cares so much about us. He would do such a thing for us over and over again. We need to know we are completely dependent upon him. Verse number 3, in the latter part of it, we find these words as well. It says here that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Grass is always greener on the other side, isn't it? We've always gone our own way. Even though the Lord may lead us, that doesn't guarantee we're going to follow him. We may go that direction a while and then go off. Split up, go another direction, whatever the case may be. And he knows if that sheep is not back in the fold by nightfall, there are predators out there on the prowl. who will go after any stray lamb, any stray sheep that's by themselves, because he wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's important that we're on that right path. It's important that we go that right direction, because God knows what's best for us. We may not. Oh, we think we know best. We think we have our own wisdom. But it's not the wisdom of God. It's the world's wisdom. It's what the world dangles out there in front of us. Says this is the right way. This is a good way. This is the way of fun and happiness and enjoyment. And it comes a lot of times with loud music and drinking and many other things. And God said, no, that's not the right direction. I lead you in that path for my name's sake. Follow me. Follow me. Indeed. There are other paths, but not all of them are right. Hold your place in the 23rd Psalm, and let me share with you a blessing. Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse number 11. Psalm 65, verse number 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures in the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. Did you catch that for those of us who are a little overweight? God's paths drop fatness our way. Hey, according to the Word of God, it's not so bad being fat. It's a good thing. It's a sign of plenty, a sign of abundance, a sign that what God wants to bless you with over and abundant with all the fatness that he has. So if you're somewhat overweight, hope you underline that verse. Hope you highlight it. Hope you put it down. Show it to your instructor in the exercise room. Here it is. Yeah. And then verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yes, there are a lot of people who get to this point. As they go follow the paths of righteousness, they can lead through a valley up to green pastures. It has been said in some Bible times that whenever the snow in the highlands melt, and it begins to melt, it produces green grass. And because of that, this new grass, fresh grass. So the shepherd may have to lead the sheep up through a valley to get to that high plain where the green grass is. And if you go into a valley, usually the valley has two sides. And the predators, and since I came from Kansas, the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, they're up there. Yeah, they're up there. And it's the shadow of those predators that hang over. And they're looking. I'm looking for my dinner today. I'm looking what lonely stray sheep may go and will stray away from the flock. And for that predator, it's a run down the hill, snatch and grab, and I've got supper tonight. So it's the shadow of the predators that hang over the rim of the valley, looking down at the sheep. Indeed, since they're skittish anyway, we find the psalmist here says, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. As long as I'm walking by my shepherd, I fear no evil. Because the shepherd has a rod, usually a 2-foot heavy stick. And with that, it is his weapon. Not in the days of gunpowder. So he will take a rod and he will kind of chase away the predators that come. He'll take that thing and swing it right and swing it left and swing it right and swing it left. He'll do what he can to take care of the predators that may come after his sheep. Next, we find he has that crook, that staff. And it's there that's been notoriously known to go after a leg or maybe around the neck of a sheep. Come back. There's a cliff there. You don't know about it. Come on back. And he'll drag you back. Or maybe there's bad water out there. Come on. No. That's not good for you. Come on back. I fear no evil, because my shepherd watches over me. He takes a rod. He takes a staff. He protects me. He watches after my good. He knows what's wrong. He knows what's evil. He knows what's not good out there. And he'll make sure I don't fall into those traps. But you've got to be following the shepherd. You've got to be on that path of righteousness. You've got to be walking the way he walks and understand he cares so much for us. And indeed he does. Yes, indeed, The Word of God is the rod of protection today. The power of His staff is the Holy Spirit. Through God's Word and the direction of the Holy Spirit, I fear no evil. I don't fear what is out there. We do live in an uncertain world, yes. We do live in a sinful world, yes. But if you don't have faith in your heavenly shepherd, what's going on, my friend? What kind of a sheep are we? In other words, question I have to ask, when Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins and paid for us with His own blood, and you're constantly still afraid, did Jesus get what He paid for? If you're constantly afraid, I don't think He did. See, we have a shepherd that watches over us so much, loves us so much, that He died to pay for our sins and to watch and care for us day by day by day. We are told here that I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In verse number 4, he goes on to say that thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Indeed they have. And we find here that even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, when our kids were growing up, like your children, they may have been afraid of the shadows coming in, right? Well, you and I know nothing to be afraid of shadows. I mean, I watched Monster University. Sully is a good guy. He's a good guy, right? And they may cry, they may holler, Mommy, Daddy, come shadow, I'm afraid, monster's in the room. And you see the shadows on the wall. You may fix the window, fix the curtain. And you go and comfort your children and tell them, there's nothing to be afraid of. They're just shadows. They can't hurt you. Christian, if the shadows of death come near you and that frightens you, just think, you're going to die and go to heaven. Well, there's nothing to be afraid of, right? There's nothing to be fearful of, because there's nothing to be afraid of. God has you in His hand. He'll take care of you all the day long. Indeed, we have a wonderful shepherd who watches over us. Same sense we find here as we continue on, verse number 5. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of my enemies. Meaning sheep will always be in the presence of their enemies. As we mentioned before, there's always going to be predators, and they will always want sheep. It's the most constant, instant food around for them. Because they may have to go chase a rabbit. They may have to go out there and chase a deer. But sheep, sheep are too scared, too frightened to go anywhere. Easy meal for them. It is their version of fast food meals for them. Indeed. So we find here that because of that, that we do have enemies in our life. This world, the unsaved, perhaps, who put down Christianity. We have enemies of maybe you're within your own family, doesn't care much for your Christian witness. Maybe at your work, somebody puts you down because you pray before you eat at work, or whatever the case may be. You've got people out there not going to be in agreement with you and your Christian walk. But He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. And even though they surround me to the right, to the left, back behind me, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And yet many Christians do live in fear, even in the midst of their enemies. Do not be afraid, for He is there constantly to watch over us and comfort us in each and every way. We see here in verse number 5 that it continues on. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's been said that shepherds going up to the highland areas, as the snow from the winter melts into the ground, springtime, and we know around springtime what happens here in Texas. Critters come out, unwanted critters. And it's been said that the shepherd will take his rod and he'll pound the ground. Why? Because he knows underneath that ground, there are snakes, there are spiders. There are creatures in that ground. And whatever that sheep bends down to take and snatch of that grass, bingo, on his nose, snake bitten. So the shepherd, and to avoid that, will take a special ointment, put it around the head, put it around the nose, put it around that sheep where spiders and snakes are repelled by it. I mean, we're talking about smelly, stinky sheep who constantly rebel against the shepherd. And yet he does that for us, my friends. Wow. My cup runneth over. I have been so blessed and so blessed and so blessed and so blessed and so blessed. It's just beyond measure. Literally, beyond measure. The cup runneth over. My shepherd thinks of every detail of my life. And things I could never think. Who would ever think of stomping the ground to see if there's spider and snake holes? Who? Who would do that? We run away from them. But the shepherd goes to them because he wants the best for his sheep. Wow. That's amazing. And then we come to this area. Verse number 5. We find here that verse number 6, I should say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, if you got a shepherd, guess what? You have to have sheepdogs, right? And I don't know about your house, but we have a mixed border collie at our home, and she follows us everywhere we go. In fact, we are her sheep. She'll nip at our heels whenever she wants something to eat. She herds us. God has his own sheepdogs, right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Come on, goodness, let's go. Come on, let's go, goodness. Mercy, over here. Come on, mercy, let's go. And they'll follow you the rest of your life, my friend. You'll never be left alone. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And then the ultimate goal, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You know, sometimes we are prone to wonder. Remember the song we sing sometimes? Come thou fount of every blessing. Oh, to grace how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wondering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it with thy courts above. I'm convinced prodigal son knew he could come home. Why? Dad had goodness and mercy. Wherever that young man went, he knew he could come home. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the shepherd knows how to take care of us in our lives. And it may be for that reason, indeed, that the psalmist went back to verse number 1. For all of the things we've talked about, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You and I can only put band-aids on people's lives and help them and pray with them. But it's the Lord himself that provides totally, totally in our lives everything about us mentally, emotionally, psychologically, physically, and spiritually, to take care of our needs. That's our shepherd. I leave you with a thought. It's found here in John 10:11. Jesus made this comment, I am the good shepherd. If you have any questions about who the shepherd is, John 10:11, I am that good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ showed his love for the sheep by dying on the cross to give himself for his sheep. I am that good shepherd. And the good shepherd indeed will give his life for his sheep, that they may not die, they may not go to the eternal grave and hell, that they can be saved and born again. And today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you've never trusted him to be your shepherd, come today to that shepherd. He loves you. He cares about you. If you're leaderless, if you're shepherdless today, come to the Savior. He'll help you. He'll heal you. He'll take care of your needs if you only let him do that. I close with this thought and idea. We have 4 children. Our oldest is in heaven right now, but we have only 1 boy. And I start out with an apology to all of you. I love all of you. I love you all so much. But I am so sorry, I am so sorry, I am so sorry, I am so sorry that I could not give up my one and only son, Jonathan, to die on the cross for your sins. But God did. God did. God did. If you want to know what real love is, see it in Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need a shepherd this morning, we invite you to come. If you need some shepherd to take care of your needs, we invite you to come. If you need to have your soul restored, we invite you to come. If you're easily scared and frightened about the things of this world, we invite you to come. He'll make you lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside the still waters. He'll help you in the presence of your enemies. You should not be afraid, for I fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Whatever you have need of, the shepherd supplies in ways we could not even think of. My head is anointed with oil. My cup runneth over. Is your cup running over with blessings today? Do you feel that he has forgotten you? Do you feel that you're not blessed by God? Do you feel that the suffering and the trials and tribulations of your life have overwhelmed you? Oh, come to the shepherd today. Come to him. Please come to him. He cares about each and every one of you. Father, I do pray that you will speak to us all during this invitation. And Lord, we know there are some who are struggling today. Those who are struggling in their faith, struggling in doubts, fears, struggling that whether or not to continue on for their Savior. I pray that, Father, you'll help us all to fall on our knees before the shepherd and realize that I've got to follow his path. It's a good path. It's a path that produces the fatness of the land for me, and I will be well, I'll be good, and I'll be healthy in Christ. And for those who are without a shepherd today, they cannot say that with any certainty that when they die, they go to heaven. I pray that today they will come and receive the shepherd that was a shepherd of their soul, a shepherd who died on the cross for their salvation, a shepherd who's identified himself. I am that good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I pray that, Father, they'll come. Whatever the need is, come. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.